Hare Krishna. So Krishna has told Arjuna a very, very nice point. He said, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mama vartamanu vartante manushyaha partha sarvashaha. This was the previous shloka that we discussed, where he's saying that whatever people are desiring, according to their desire, according to their intensity of devotion towards me, I reciprocate. Now, Arjuna had a very, very intelligent question. He said, Oh Krishna, if that is the case, then tell me, why is it that not everyone is worshipping you? Why is it that there are some people who are worshipping demigods and some people who are worshipping powerful people in this world? Why is it so? Oh, please, Krishna, please clarify. And to clarify Krishna's doubt and the doubt of all the people all around the world, Krishna is speaking this verse that we're going to discuss today. Shloka number 12. It goes like this. Kankshantaha karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha shipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So Krishna is saying, O Arjuna, listen. Manushe loke. So he is saying that men in this world, all the people in this world, What happened to them? Kankshantaha karmanam siddhim. They all have a lot of desires. And they desire what? They desire success, siddhi, perfection in fruitive activity, in various activities that they do. And for what? For this, what do they do? Yajanta iha devataha. They worship various devatas. And here, iha devata basically means demigods and powerful men in this world. Shipram hi siddhir bhavati karmaja. Shipram hi, certainly. What happens? Certainly siddhir bhavati karmaja. Very soon, shipram, very quickly, they actually get the results also. This is the catch here. They worship demigods and also they get the results for the same. So this is a very nice shloka for all the students of Gita, for all the devotees of Lord Krishna to understand that yes, demigods, they do give quick results. But then, do we have to desire that? And what is the position of demigods? What is the position of Krishna? And what is the position of devotees in general? Let's try to understand that. A very, very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. He says, the demigods are not different forms of God. They are not different forms of God. Many times people say that, TK, everything is one, all gods are same. So it's not that. So it's very clearly given, the demigods are not different forms of the Lord, but they are God's different parts and parcels. God is one and the parts and parcels are many. So we have Krishna and Krishna's parts and parcels are various Devi Devtas. And how many are there in number? 33 crore Devi Devtas in this world. And all of them, they are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, Mamai Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. He is saying that everyone in this world, everyone in this universe, in this creation are my part and parcel. He is very clear. So everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, including the Devi Devatas. Anyone who thinks that God and the demigods are on the same level is called an atheist or Pashandi. Even the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva cannot be compared to the Supreme Lord. See, this is a very nice point. Whenever people say that, oh, everything is same, everything is equal. On sentimental platform, on an emotional platform, that might look very nice. Oh, very nice, very nice. We are not hurting anyone's sentiment. You worship whomever you want, do whatever you want. All that is okay. But the point is that philosophically, tattvataha, according to the truth given in Shastra, Krishna is supreme. And everyone else is subordinate to Krishna. This is what is the point. Even it is given, Brahma Shiva Virinchinutam Sharanya. Sorry, this is Shiva Virinchinutam Sharanyam. This is a very nice shloka given Bhagavatam. Shiva Virinchinutam Sharanyam. Shiva means Lord Shiva. Virinchi is Brahma. So what they did, what these personalities do? These great demigods, they are paying obeisance to Lord Krishna and they are serving Krishna. Now what to talk about other Devi Devtas who are under them. So all of them are servants of Lord Shri Krishna. So this is what is their position. We have to understand that this entire material world is basically like a huge universal administration. And there are different departments in that. So there is one lead, there is one head, and that is Krishna. And different departments also have a lead, and they are Devi Devtas. Very, very simple to understand. Even a person like Sripad Shankaracharya, who is the leader of all the Mayavadis, the impersonalist, even he maintains that Narayana or Krishna is beyond this material creation. He also agrees to this point that Krishna is beyond the material creation, whereas Devi Devtas, they are under the modes of material nature. They are in this material creation, part of material creation. Foolish people, Ritajnana, worship the demigods because they want immediate results. They get the results, but do not know that results so obtained are temporary and are meant for less intelligent persons. See, this point is very nice to understand that finally this world is ashashvatam world. Ashashvatam, temporary. This body is temporary. The needs of this body are temporary. And the personalities who are fulfilling the needs of this body are also temporary. That is the Devi Devtas. So when someone is hankering for something temporary, that person will not be called as intelligent. That person will be called as unintelligent or less intelligent. So the worshippers of the demigods, they are less intelligent because what they are desiring is a very, very temporary aspect of this world, which will stay for some time. Very, very short time. Very, very flickering. And another important point is given here. The demigods of this material world, as well as their worshippers, will vanish with the annihilation of this material world. Very nice point. So, when Pralaya happens, at that time, everyone in this world, and also all the Devi Devtas, all of them will be annihilated. See, we have to understand these Devi Devtas who are there, like Surya, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, etc. So, they are positions, they are not persons. They are positions. Surya is a position. And a person who takes that position, his name is Vivaswan. So, like that, similarly, Vayu is a position, Varuna is a position. So, like that, we have all these different positions and different personalities. When a living entity, when he is empowered by the Lord, he gets that position. This is what we have to understand. And with time, they will also have an end. They also have to, you know, give up that particular position, leave the body. And especially this happens at the time of Pralaya. That's what is given here. The boons of the demigods are material and temporary. Very clear. Because they are temporary. What they can give is something temporary. And everything, whatever we discussed till now, that is compared to the demigods and the worshippers are compared to what? The bubbles in the cosmic ocean. Lots of bubbles are there in the ocean. But then who can tell that which bubble will remain for what time? What is the lifespan of a bubble? No one can tell. Every now and then some bubble will come up and then after some time it will burst. That's what is our situation, and that's what is the situation of all the Devi Devtas. Human society is mad after temporary things, such as material opulence of possessing land, family and enjoyable paraphernalia. To achieve such temporary things, people worship the demigods or powerful men in human society. People want promotion, people want a good, beautiful wife, people want some kids, people want nice house, and then bonus, and then money, and increment, or whatever. Everyone is just hankering behind this, but then people hardly know that all this is so temporary that as soon as I give up this body, I am going to leave all this behind and just walk alone. No one will come with me and nothing will come with me. This knowledge, which is given in Bhagavad Gita, that how at the time of death, we leave the body, we leave all the possessions and we go to another body, not many people know. But at least the students of Gita should understand this very, very clearly. They should understand this very clearly and act accordingly. So now the question which I would like to pose to all of you all is there any use of hankering for temporary things? It will come. Whatever is needed will come. Depending on our past karma, everything will come. But then, is it really very intelligent that throughout one's life, a person keeps hankering for temporary things, gets temporary things, he uses it, again he loses it, and again hankers, again uses it, loses it. What is the cycle all about? And throughout the life, person does that and finally dies. So what is the achievement here? What is the achievement? There's no achievement at all. It's almost zero. There's zero achievement. So what is the actual achievement? The actual achievement is when the person attains something permanent. Because we as spirit soul, we are permanent. So when we attain something permanent, that is when we attain Krishna, when we go back home back to Godhead, that is actually the real success, the real achievement. So it is very nicely said that this verse indicates that people are rarely interested in Krishna consciousness. They are mostly interested in material enjoyment and therefore they worship some powerful living entity. People just want some immediate results. We are very much used to. Yes, nowadays people just study one day before exam and pass the exam. Study something one day before interview, crack the interview. So this is what? Instant. Instant food, instant enjoyment. Everything is instant in this world. And then the tendency or the mentality has also become instant. I want it instant. So when they want instant result, they approach some powerful personality or Devi Devta. But then when it comes to liberation, when it comes to attaining Krishna, when it comes to breaking the cycle of birth and death, yes, it is a slow process. But then it's a sure shot permanent process, which will actually give us permanent destination. So when it comes to worship of Krishna, why many people not do or don't take up to worship of Krishna? Because Krishna is very clever. What he does? No, he makes sure that the person gets purified. Suppose, you know, I go to Krishna to ask something. He'll make sure that the person gets purified completely. And then after complete purification, that person will have no material desire. He'll lose the desire forever. And then what will Krishna do? Krishna will give his own love. Krishna will give his own lotus feet and take him back home back to Godhead. A very, very prominent example given in Bhagavatam is Dhruva Maharaj. A very nice shloka. Dhruva Maharaj quotes this. He's saying this to the Lord. Sthana bhilashi tapasi stitoham tvam prapta vandeva munindra guhyam kachan vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. Dhruva Maharaj, with so much of intense desire to get the entire property much greater than Brahma, he started doing a lot of tapasya. Sthana bilashi tapasi stitoham. I did a lot of tapasya to get a, you know, big land, a big property greater than my grandfather, great-grandfather Brahma. And then he says, Tvam praptavan deva munindra guyam. But in the process of getting that land, that property, what happened? I attained you. And you are rare even for whom? Deva and Muni. Even for Devi Devtas you are rare. For great sages you are rare. And then, no, he's saying, Kachan vichinvan apidivya ratnam. I was searching for pieces, broken pieces of glass, and look at my fortune. Now I've got you, O Lord. Apidivya ratnam. I've got this transcendental jewel. And then finally he says, Swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. So Krishna is saying, okay, all this is okay. Tell me what you want. You wanted something, you forgot? He says, Swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. Now I've got you, O Lord. What else I need? I don't want anything else. This is the beauty of Lord Shri Krishna. Krishna will give only that which will help the living entity to attain the ultimate goal of life. He will give. Whatever material desires are there, he'll fulfill. But then he'll make sure that the person gets purified. How wonderful Lord Shri Krishna is. So we have to take shelter of Lord Krishna. One-pointed shelter of Lord Krishna. Not taking shelter of anyone else in this world. Only Krishna. When we take one-pointed shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, the person can attain the ultimate destination, going back, home back to Godhead. And how can that be done in the age of Kali Yuga? By chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we can take one point of shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we every single day chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra with determination to attain the ultimate goal, taking complete shelter of Lord Krishna, then we can say that person is an intelligent person. Krishna Bhakta, Bada Chatur. Krishna Bhaktas, Krishna's devotees are very, very intelligent. They don't fall for small temporary things of this world. They fall for something very, very high. Or they want, or they rise for something very, very high. This is the right word. So in this way, Krishna made it very clear. He answered Arjuna's question. That you know, they go to different Devi Devtas because they want quick result. When they'll come to me, I'll give them result, but then it will take some time and at the same time I'll purify them. So I don't think they're interested in that, Arjuna. This is what, you know, he said. Now, another question which comes up here is, okay, we understand all these things, but then does Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, control everyone's desires? Is it so? Because we see everyone is desiring something. So is he controlling everyone's desires? Another question is he responsible for everyone's pains and pleasures, suffering and enjoyment? Another important question is he that personality who decides who should become a devotee, who should become a materialist, who should remain a struggling sadhaka, a struggling spiritualist forever? He does that. And finally, another question, how can such people become free from excessive attachment? Because they all have, we just saw, so much of desire is there for instant gratification, sense gratification. How can they get completely detached from all that? Is that possible? This particular question, or these set of questions, Krishna is answering in the next shloka. Shloka number 13, and let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.